Our gospel reading this morning asks us to return to last Sunday, to the evening of the resurrection, and to imagine how the disciples were feeling. Mary Magdalene has delivered her remarkable, perhaps even unbelievable news, and the disciples are scared. Their Easter was not marked with bells and trumpets and alleluias, but with continued anxiety and fear, perhaps even more than the days before. They've locked themselves away, fearful that they may follow Jesus to their deaths, and a missing body certainly doesn't make them feel any better. Fair enough. They've had a rough week. Their hopes dashed, their dreams shattered, their hearts broken. It isn't surprising that Mary's say-so is not enough to get them to pick up their faith, dust it off, and start singing alleluias. Fortunately, they're not left with just Mary's say-so. Jesus, confounding expectations, once again appears in their midst, fears and locked doors notwithstanding. He appears, but he doesn't stay. Resurrection, it seems, has indeed changed things. Still their Lord, he will no longer be their leader in quite the same way. But he does not leave them empty-handed. He gives them three gifts. First, he gives them peace, setting them free from fear and anxiety. Second, he gives them a job. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And third, he gives them the Holy Spirit, breathing it out upon them and with it the power to forgive or not. So peace, a job, and the power of the Spirit. Thus equipped, the disciples enter Easter and begin sorting out what it means to follow the resurrected Christ, what it means to live this good news. For Easter is not simply one day, one event. It is a season. It is a time for focused learning and preparation, just as much as Lent is. The focus, of course, is different. In Lent, we prepare ourselves to receive the outpouring of love given to us in the sacrifice of Jesus by acknowledging all the places in our world and in ourselves that need healing and restoration. In Easter, we figure out what to do with that love now that it is ours. In Easter, we turn our attention to our call as followers of Jesus to respond to the need for healing and restoration. How do we go out into the world as agents of God's transforming love and power? I don't have a detailed plan for you any more than Jesus gave the disciples a detailed plan, but I do know that we have also been given the tools we need, just as the first disciples were. First, peace. Jesus' peace. The peace of one who has known the worst and been restored. The peace of one who knows deeply and truly that injustice and hatred and death are simply not stronger than righteousness and love and life. The peace of one who is not afraid. So freed from fear, we can make the changes that need to be changed, give up the things that need to be given up, and demand the things that need to be demanded. Second, a job. Jesus' job. We are sent as Jesus was sent, not to condemn the world, but to save it, not to judge it, but to love it, not to rule it, but to serve it. We are sent where Jesus was sent, away from our places of comfort and ease, and out onto the roads and into unfamiliar towns. We are sent to the people Jesus was sent to people who are hurting, people who are pushed aside, people who are lost. We are sent to embrace humanity with divine love. Which might seem an impossible job for us if it weren't for that third gift, the Holy Spirit, the power to do the job we are sent to do, the power to trust the peace we have been given, even when it seems foolish, the power to forgive or to not forgive. But let us remember that Jesus always chose forgiveness. The power to love with a divine love, and so to be part of God's healing work. Peace, a job, and the Holy Spirit. Thus equipped, we enter Easter, and we begin the work of sorting out what it means to follow the resurrected Christ, to live the good news. And now we have reached the less than halfway point of our gospel. We're a little more than halfway through the sermon. But I can't very well sit down without a few words about Thomas. So let's return to the disciples. Let's return to the disciples. Jesus has appeared to them, equipped and mobilized them. They are full of astonished joy and excitement, their anxious confusion turned to happy confusion. They are on a high, and they are eager to share all of this with Thomas, who had the terrible timing to be away when it happened. It's their first attempt to proclaim the risen Christ, and it doesn't go so well. Like Mary before them, they find that their words are insufficient, and Thomas demands what they have already received, his own experience of the risen Christ. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A little dramatic, perhaps, but who can blame him? His friends have either all gone mad, or he has been left out of possibly the most significant event of all time. Why should he believe in this risen Lord just because other people saw him? It's a fair question, and it continues to be a fair question. But let's remember that Thomas's doubts are not rooted in some kind of scientific skepticism. He was a first century man who had just spent something like 3 years following around a miracle worker. He was not looking for hard evidence delivered in a reproducible fashion. But he still needed his own experience of the risen Lord. And we are no different. It is, of course, highly unlikely that any of us will see Jesus in quite the way Thomas and the other disciples did, although let's leave the possibilities open. But we too needed to have our own experience of the risen Christ in order to bring us to this place at this time. And I don't know what your experiences have been. The moments of revelation or of forgiveness, of wonder and healing, of connection and hope. I don't know what has sustained your faith, what has made you wonder and come close and stay. In fact, you might not always be able to articulate those experiences even to yourself. And yet, here we are, gathered not in fear, but in faith. Come once again, ready to receive the gifts of Easter, which Jesus gives to his followers in every age. Peace, a job, and the Holy Spirit. The peace that only God can give, a call to join in the healing work of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit the very breath of God. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.